The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. I think I'll use the word energy because it picks up on that wonderful energy that we just experienced here. But I want to talk about the energy that the title for today's sermon has generated among many of you in the congregation. There are those of you who are energized in hopes that what I say in this sermon will challenge Glenn Beck and his ilk and prove him to be misguided. There's also an energy among many of you that is hoping that I will speak out in full support of what Mr. Beck is espousing and then continue to further his cause to call for reform. But what I want to do today is, first of all, to lay out in front of all of us that I believe that there are times when reformation is indeed necessary, whether it's a personal reformation as you get your spiritual life in order, whether it's a reform within the church or a reform within the culture or the government. But I want us to be careful about what we are looking for if we are indeed yearning for reform. And so what I want to do today is really take a look at maybe three myths that are associated with reform. And I want you to be able to use what we talk about then as a tool for discerning for yourself where you might be in this movement. The first myth is that reform means that we go back to the way things were because they were done in the best way possible. I want to challenge that myth because if we make that claim, we lose sight of the changes that have happened in our culture and in our country from when we were conceived to where we find ourselves now. Understanding that the foundation upon which those who shaped the law of our land were standing was a foundation that was built in an agrarian community where people were farmers, and then there were those specialized fields that filled in the gaps, like teachers and blacksmiths and people who provided goods for others. What we have seen since the inception of our country is that we have moved from an agrarian way of being through an industrial revolution and now into a technological revolution that is changing the way we process information and the way we go about life and where people find themselves. And with that change from agrarian to where we are now, one of the things we're facing is that in the early days of our country, it was all about individual responsibility. And if each individual was responsible for his or her actions, it would provide then a sound system for people to live. But as we have moved through this industrialization and now into the technological movement, we find that we have these large units called international corporations. And we have a new depth of responsibility that is a corporate responsibility that really extends way beyond what was originally part of our understanding and self-definition as a country. We also have seen a great move forward in our understanding of science and technology, where you can examine something and you can study it, and you can come up with all the facts about that item, and to believe to have hold of the truth if you have all of those facts. The problem is sometimes we put the facts together in really odd ways. For instance, are you aware that when the sale of ice cream in Boston increases, so do the number of drowning deaths? We could draw a number of conclusions from that. The first conclusion would be that there's something wrong with the ice cream in Boston that's causing people to get sick, and when they're out there swimming, then they drown and it's all over. You could take the approach that they ate and they went swimming way too soon after they ate their ice cream. Or you could think, when does the sale of ice cream go up? In the summertime. When do people more likely swim outside? In the summertime. And so with basing things on fact, we then have to engage in how we put those facts together. And then finally, in the way that we have changed, we also must be aware that we are mixing up spiritual leaders, political leaders, and media personalities. And I think we always should be cautious when we make a political leader a spiritual leader, when we make a media personality a spiritual leader. There are distinct roles that each of those perform in our culture. So to claim that reform is going back to the way it was, and if we do it that way, everything will be fine, is really a naive approach because it doesn't take into account how we have changed in the years since our country was formed. A second myth I want to challenge is the myth that we really do know what's wrong with our country. The story of a man that was standing in the middle of a mud puddle. And another man came up to him and said to him, "You're sitting in a mud puddle." And the first man said, "I have never, ever stood in a mud puddle. I never will stand in a mud puddle. And I'm not standing in the mud puddle now." To not be aware of where he found himself at that moment. Glenn Beck does capture the fact that there are things that aren't working right. And he says that his role, as he sees it, is to wake America up to the backsliding of principles and values, and most of all, God. We are a country of God, and as I look at it, he says, "The problems of our country, quite honestly, I think that the hot breath of destruction is breathing down our necks. And I don't see anywhere where there's a political figure that can bring about any sense of correction." We have in one camp this call to restore America and to restore her honor. We have a call in another camp, which is to fundamentally change and transform America. What that leads us to conclude is that there are problems that we have no solutions for, and nothing can be done about them. And then we have people who are then placing themselves in the position to bring about that solution. I want to consider the possibility that we have solutions to most of what challenges us and our nation. The problem is that we can't get to the solutions because we don't agree what the problems are. And so we can stand like that man in that mud puddle and claim, I've never stood in a mud puddle, I never will stand in a mud puddle, and I'm not in one now. And then place ourselves as the solution to what ails us. The second myth of this call to reform is to be able to identify what is really keeping us from resolving the problem. Is it a lack of solutions or a lack of will for self-sacrifice so that we can put the solutions in place? The final myth as we talk about reformation is that we can be the holder of the truth because of the formula that we have within our grasp. We assume that truth is wrapped up in something being said the same way all the time. But truth is not always captured in just a series of words put together, but is behind what is said. For instance, if I go up to a person who has the practice from when they wake up in the morning until when they go to bed at night, putting donuts in their mouth one after another, and I say to that person, you realize that by keeping doing that, you're going to continue to cause health problems and you're going to get sick. It is a truthful statement. However, if I go up to someone who eats nothing but salads and green beans all the time, and I say to them, if you keep putting those donuts in your mouth all day, then you're going to end up getting sick. It's not truthful then, is it? Now, quite honestly, I'm convinced that eating salad all the time is more harmful to a person's life than eating donuts on a regular basis, and maybe I need to reform my thought in that way of being. But behind what we say is something greater than the words. And so when I hear Mr. Beck call for a strict interpretation of the Constitution, that concerns me. Because it's the values behind that Constitution that make it a dynamic statement of intent as opposed to a static statement of intent. It also would seem to me that as members of the Tea Party, such as Christine O'Donnell, if you're going to have a strict interpretation of the Constitution, you probably should learn what's in it, first of all, before you call for adherence to it, as she claimed not to know that the separation of church and state was in the Second Amendment or in the Constitution. The truth is a dynamic power that speaks to people depending on where they find themselves in life. It is not a formula that, if quoted, will transform things. My wife and I received a lot of phone calls this week. I don't know if you have too. Dan Honorato gave us a phone call. And Joe Sestak gave us a phone call. Tom Corbett gave us a phone call, called us by first name, so obviously we're on a first name basis with him based on that phone call. Mike Huckabee gave us a phone call this week, and Sarah Palin even gave us a phone call this week. We're very popular. I hope that you are as well loved as I am among the great leaders of our country. You can also tell by who all gave us a phone call that I live in a divided household, can you not? Because once again, in our country, we are facing the battle between the victims and the bullies. With the current victims hoping that things will turn around next Tuesday so they can become the bullies. Much like that happened 2 years prior to this year. There indeed may need to be a true call for change. But that call for change must reflect how our culture and its needs have changed since the inception of our nation. That change must be rooted in a clear understanding of what the problem really is. And finally, that change cannot come about by simply quoting formulas that half the people buy into and the other half disagree with, but is rooted in a genuine concern for the well-being of others and for this nation, and a genuine concern usually begins with self-sacrifice. Amen. We celebrate as a community of faith this day that God will make 3 new disciples through the sacrament of holy baptism. The order for holy baptism is found beginning on page 228 in the front of your hymnal. We invite the family to come forward at this time. Get to wear your PJs too. How cool is that? You can come up and join your family, please. Yes. All right. All right. In baptism, a gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Adam and Zoe, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have your children baptized into Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
As you bring your children to receive the gift of holy baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with them among God's faithful people. Bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper. Teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture them in faith and prayer so that your children may learn to trust God. Proclaim Christ through word and deed. Care for others in the world God made and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help your children grow in the Christian faith and life? And people of God, do you promise to support these children and pray for them in their new life in Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Zoe and Adam, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
We renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
We renounce them.
Will the congregation please join in the next responses? Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. And through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and rose us to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. All right, Miriam, are you ready? All right. We've got a very tall baptismal font here. This is Miriam Yael. Is that right? Wonderful. Can you lean over a little bit, Miriam? Miriam Yael, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Okay, there you go. I'll give that to you so you can keep your head dry. All right. And we have who
Noah
next?
Lev.
Noah, whose head is stuck in his sweatshirt. There we go. All right. That hurts, huh? Sorry about that. There we go.
Noah Lev, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And now Isaac.
Isaac. There. You can dry your face off with that, yes.
Isaac Joseph. Here we go, honey.
Lean over a little bit.
Just a little bit.
There we go. Go ahead.
There we go. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Amen.
Lord God, we ask you to sustain Miriam with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen.
Noah, here goes, sweetheart. Lord God, we ask you to sustain Noah with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. And Isaac. Here, honey. Lord God, we ask you to sustain Isaac with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. All right, Miss Miriam. Miriam Yael, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Noah. Noah Lev, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. And Isaac Joseph, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Amen.
All right, we're going to walk over here to the front of the church. We got some candles for you. You know how on your birthday you light candles on your cake to celebrate your birthday? We hope every year on October 31st you'll pull these candles out and light them and remember the day that you became this beloved child of God.
Your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen.
Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. I also now want to invite those who are joining the congregation this day. And Myraline is here, and Gary and Lori and Ken is back there as well. If you'd come forward, please. These people have come to us throughout the last year, or in Myraline's case, in the last couple years. She's hiding behind Gary back there. That's right, and desire to become members of our congregation. And so we welcome you as members of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church to join with us in worshiping God, hearing his word and sharing his supper, proclaiming the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, serving all people, and striving for justice and peace in all the world. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for these new members of our congregation. By your life-giving power, bind us to each other in you. Strengthen us for service. Support us all our days. And bring us at length to that day when all your children will be one and you will be all in all. And take a moment to introduce these people to you. We welcome Kenneth, who is a cousin of Sherry Blaylock, and if you get the chance to hear him talk, you hear that there's a southern part of him here. So, and likewise has some pretty amazing belt buckles, if you get a chance to check that out, and some awesome boots this morning, too. So, welcome to you. Myraline Tunis has been worshiping with us for quite a while now, and is the mother of Ann Sutter. And we are delighted to have Myraline with us. I think it was last year we had a Mardi Gras party here at the church, and Myraline was asked to sort of strut her stuff in front of everybody. And she did a great job and even had a little kick at the end. So welcome to you. Gary and Lori, the first time they visited with us, they're walking out the aisle. And I'm looking at them and saying, I know these people. Why do I know these people? They look familiar. It was John Garofalo who said, Pastor, they live next door to you. And so so we have for just over a year shared horror stories about geese, swans, and squirrels. And so we share that stress together. So welcome to them as well. And we also then want to welcome Adam and Zoe, the parents, these fine young people. And I'm blank, is it Lillian as well, their oldest daughter. So please join with me in welcoming these people into our congregation. Wonderful. I have some certificates I'll hand you, and then you may return to your seats. Thank you. All right, there's for Adam and for Zoe. You're not Zoe. She moved. Here's Zoe. And there's one for Lillian here. All right. And Myraline. And Gary. And Lori. And Kenneth. And these are their baptismal certificates as well. So wonderful. Thank you all.
In our prayers today, we would like to remember Tina Merrill, Donald Petters, Gerald Resch, and Robert Welk, who are hospitalized, as well as the family and friends of Sarah Stoner, who died earlier this week. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for setting us free from our sins, and we thank you for showing us that we have nothing to be afraid of in this life. We thank you for your love and gracious care for all of us, and we pray that you will continue to be with us, even during the times when we are fearful and worried. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Catholic Church, and we pray for its continual reform. Keep us open to the movement of your Spirit and center our lives around your gift of grace. Lord, we also thank you for the gift of freedom. In the upcoming election season, we pray that you would give wisdom and understanding to voters and those whom they elect, that our nation would be guided in your ways of peace and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, you hear the cries of those who are sick and of those who care for them. We pray especially today for Tina Merrill, Robert Welk, Donald Petters, and Gerald Resch. We mourn also with the family and friends of Sarah Stoner and those we name in our hearts. Calm their souls with the knowledge that you are God, and comfort them with your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for those who are baptized into your family here today, and we pray for your blessings upon them as they grow in their faith. We thank you also for the gift of new members who were received here today. We ask for your help to be a loving and supportive community for them, and we look forward to the blessings they will bring to your people in this place. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may we, as children of God, united by Jesus Christ and inspired by the Holy Spirit, live in hope, peace, and joy. And may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.